Welcome to Hot D, the officially unofficial podcast for House of the Dragon on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking Season 1, Episode 2, titled The Rogue Prince, but you'd never know it based on what HBO wants to tell you. I had to go to IMDb to find the title of this. Here's the thing. I feel like we got super lucky, Aaron. We will be able to use our same theme song, apparently, throughout this entire show.
Yeah. So let's, before we talk about the what we thought about the episode proper, what did you think of the new theme song? Well, the new theme song, same as the old theme song, yeah. Intro credits.
It's just the Game of Thrones theme. And I guess it's an interesting choice.
I think it's actually, it's a safe choice, but it's a strong choice. That's a banger.
It is.
It's a strong brand. I am very underwhelmed by the actual sequence itself, though. I see that there's a bunch of stuff. There's like Rhaenyra's, you know, Valyrian sigil that her uncle got her. There's a crown. There's like, I think that goddamn dagger of destiny going through these things, being fed by a fountain of blood, going into a cauldron of fire. But is it art? What the fuck is that? Like, it doesn't help you get, there's some like, you know, carvings of the Doom of Valyria. And I think the Targaryen conquest of Westeros, but like, boy, it sure did. I didn't feel like it really nailed me to any kind of time or place. What'd you think?
100% agree. I was a little bit lost. I mean, it's flowing through a castle, which I think is old Valyria, right? That's meant to be like the model.
I honestly don't know.
That's the thing.
I thought it was the fucking thing. What was Cumberbunch, Snangerbatch, the dragon from The Hobbit 2?
Smaug.
Whatever thing he took up. Like, it looked like it was that dwarf city. I don't know.
Right?
It might be over, but I couldn't swear. I thought it was some kind of just random clockwork thing, you know, being fed. Yeah. Like it's literally an engine of fire and blood. But like, that seems dumb.
Yeah, it doesn't accomplish the same thing that the Game of Thrones intro accomplished, which is to ground you in a place. Which is unfortunate.
And it didn't, it reminded me a lot of Daredevil. Do you remember Daredevil, where it's like this red thing that's kind of flowing down and coating invisible objects and stuff? It's like that kind of, but like, that would, this doesn't ground you in any place, and it doesn't really ground you in any kind of conceptual thing. I love the music, though. I thought the music choice is great.
I mean, yeah, it's great for us, and it's great. It's a jam. Like, my only thought here is that maybe they didn't think they could top the Game of Thrones theme, and so they were just like, let's use it again.
Okay. What does Jawadi think if the producers tell him that? You know what? We don't think you got it in you. To go, and what do I think of Jawadi if he says, you know what, I can't really top that one, guys?
Yeah,
like either one of those possibilities as a appreciator of the arts, I think feels like cowardice. But
my question is this going to be the theme for the entire series, or are they slowly immersing us in the House of the Dragon? Are they dipping their toe into the game, back into the Game of Thrones waters? You know, they didn't do an intro last time, just a sigil.
I think we would be sweet summer children if we assume that we're going to get anything more than this. Now, sometimes these summer children out there are rewarded for your fucking naivete and your innocent demeanor, but more often you get the boot to the face. So I'm going to say this is what we got, and the music is, I think, a safe choice. And that this thing is like, I hope that it was an intentional branding decision. Mm-hmm. If it's just literally, we don't think we can do better, I think that's cowardice. I don't think a brand decision of like, you know what, we've built a strong brand, maybe it's a little shaky, we're going to reinforce it. And just like, you, when you hear this song, just like when you hear the 20th Century Fox logo, not necessarily mean Star Wars, but with that plus the Lucas, you kind of know, you need, there's a, I, if they're going for that, that's kind of cool. I don't know. I just wish we had some Clockwork City stuff, man. Maybe if it's because there's a lot of features like the Dragon Pit and the Grand Sept we got to see today. You know, they don't have the great Sept of Baelor, but they do have a grand Sept. It would be cool to kind of see those locations popping out of King's Landing. Yeah. I would like to see a Step Zones. I would like to see the Crab Eater represented by a little mechanical crab or something.
Crab Eater. I don't know. Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Like it's wild that they if just going with your theory, if they thought that they couldn't outdo the old theme song, but then they're like, well, but we've got them covered on this fucking credit sequence. We're going to knock that one out of the park, guys. Like, no. Oh, no.
In that case, I'm glad they left the song alone, because I wouldn't want a similar quality one. Yeah, I don't know. So
6 minutes of intro talk so far, everybody. Yeah, but it's going to be discussed. I think this is the I don't even know how you say it's a misstep, but it's the first thing that I saw on this show that made me kind of go, oh.
But the rest of the episode I thought was awesome. So
okay, good. Because I was engrossed. I was like, in part of me, you know, because since we don't have fucking screeners, number four goddamn podcast on TV and film, but no screeners. I was like, part of my brain was screaming at the sheer amount of names and like references and stuff that they're throwing out. And I'm like, oh, my God. But then I'm like, you know what? It's the instant take. I thought they did a really good job of continuing to ratchet up the tension. Like, it was a bold choice to come back 6 months later and it's even more on fire. Like, Daemon's squatting in the Dragonstone. The crab feeder is starting to go after Westerosi sailors, legitimate businessmen. You know, Corlys has got an indecent proposal for the king.
Less indecent than I thought, but still very indecent.
The Lord Commander of the Kingsguard died. We got to get a new. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening. I thought it was great and engrossing and still beautiful. Like that Grand Sept stuff was so awesome. The Queen and Rhaenyra and Allison kind of saying prayers in front of the candles.
Oh, that's where they were. Okay. I was wondering, because that's one of my favorite scenes in the episode. I thought it was really powerful. Big final. So here's the thing, the ending of this, and I think that's the other thing you got to talk about, right? Is okay, Valerian Corlys makes his plea to the king to marry his way too young daughter, less young than I thought, but still way too young. And he chooses Alicent. Now, here's the thing. I knew that was coming. I was prepared for that. I wonder if that's just like a huge either what the fuck that came out of nowhere, because they don't do a lot to really build that up. They don't show any romantic interest there. All they show is a man who's being comforted by a young woman and bonding over history. And I never got a romantic vibe from them for these first two episodes. And then boom, here it is. I'm going to marry her. Or if it's not a what the fuck, it's like a big, oh no, he just fucked up with his heir stuff here. Like his kingdom's in jeopardy now.
Yeah, I gotta say that I had kind of like there's two or three different occasions where I was like, oh my God, are they going to deviate like in a major way from the canon here? Are they just going to like, and then I'm like, well, maybe they're going to set it up to where it's like a huge snub that the king's going to agree to marry Elena, and then he's going to back out, and there's going to be something that, you know, explains the betrayal of low-key betrayal, lowercase b betrayal, ambition, naked ambition,
and it bricked. What do you want?
and now he's coming to get whisper greatness into Daemon's ear. I thought maybe
I love it.
But the way they played it, I kind of was bamboozled that like, oh man, they're going to really zig when they're going to zag. But it did feel like there was a conversation missing, because clearly Alicent, you know, like there's all of her scenes were played so unsettling because she's so good at doing the things she's supposed to be doing. But she's also kind of got like, you can kind of see there's a woman inside screaming that, like, you know, where her father says, would you go visit the king tonight? It's like, if you want me to. And how she continually looks at him like, you know, did I do good? I don't fully, cause I don't know, man. There's a lot of times where it's like I was listening to the Maester and everyone debate about this marriage alliance, and I'm like, yeah, man, it sounds, honestly, it sounds like the thing you should do, Viserys. Like, It's going to make it's going to send a powerful message to the realm, to across the narrow sea. Hold on a second. Am I a little low? Can you give me any more volume, or do I need to give you some volume? I guess some people are saying
I'm Soto Voco. Nah, you should be good.
Okay. So anyway, it would send this kind of like thing across the narrow sea, and it would send a strong message of solidarity. And then they smash cut to like him walking in the garden with this little girl. And I'm like, ah, no, fuck it. This is...
No, it's too much. She doesn't look 12. Is one problem. The second problem is she's supposed to be 12.
Yeah.
So like she looks 8, and, maybe right. 10. I don't know how long young she's supposed to be.
Allison's canonically supposed to be 15, so I guess, and you know, and again, it's broadly speaking, medieval times, the women don't have any choice in this. It's all
right. It's all gross
chattel. You know, it's not good.
Yeah,
but the thing was interesting is I felt really bad for Allison, knowing that she was reluctantly going along with this only because of her father and her perceived duty to the realm and her family. But Rhaenyra is treating this like a full blown betrayal. You know,
yeah,
like a multiple layer of betrayal, like. Corlys felt betrayed. He's snubbed now a third time. His family, he feels, has been snubbed by the Targaryens. Rhaenyra feels betrayed by both her father simultaneously with her best friend. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
and
I
then
can't imagine what it's like for your best friend to suddenly become your mom. that's weird.
Yeah,
when you're a teenager.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking weird. And Otto, I wasn't expecting him to kind of give Corlys that little chin wag. It's very subtle, but I felt like he gave him a little bit of a shine on. And I'm like, damn, dude, I don't know that you've got the brass to back that up.
No, I mean, one of the best scenes, in my opinion, is when Otto takes his, whatever, 20 soldiers and goes out to Dragonstone and tries to say, hey, give the egg back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Rhaenyra made the totally the right call, because Daemon's ready to just kill every one of them.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Never. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of King's Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6-page at baldmove.com/live.
He's essentially doing this, right? He's there to provoke. He's there to force Viserys into a bad decision. It's going to make him look weak. I don't think
that Daemon was going to literally kill those people, though. Like he was
trying to provoke them into attacking him. And then,
if he could get as long as they didn't lose the
because he's got the egg.
Right.
And I think Otto knew that. They're either going to leave her empty-handed and makes Viserys look extremely weak, or they're going to kill. They're going to attack him, try and take the egg, and he's going to kill all of them in a justified way.
Man, I wish I knew. I wish I knew if Daemon would play the brinksmanship all the way to the end, because I was trying to, you know, think of that in real time. It's like, does Daemon give Otto the egg? Because anything else is essentially treason and open declaration of war. And Daemon knew as much. And I think what he wanted to do is do something that he could sell as reasonable and have Otto overreact. And he just, when he had his men sheath, and then Rhaenyra came in, which I thought was badass. Like, that was, like, you know, in the high points of the episode. It looked cool. It really established her as her own person. She's, you know, not going to be your father's cupbearer anymore.
I mean, this whole thing makes Otto look like an idiot, though. Because, like, he knows that dragon is there. He knows Daemon has a dragon, and he comes with 20 dudes? That ain't going to cut it, man. You need to bring at least one dragon.
That's what I'm saying. There's a conversation missing, because I thought that Otto or the scene in the small council chambers where Viserys is kind of like debating about this issue, and Otto's like, whoa, 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 gat. Otto was not giving what I would call leal service. He was not giving like true and trusted advice. He was steering things towards his daughter.
Yeah.
But I thought it was weird that Viserys saw that, and I thought he was seeing that, like, Otto was essentially flop sweating, right? But then he would kind of like go along. Like I said, I what was the conversation Otto had with Viserys to cement in his mind that, like, look, you've got to get married, you got to do it now, you can't put this off, but you can't marry Lena. You don't want to marry Lena. It feels wrong. It is wrong. Like, I needed something just to connect that, because it felt, It made Viserys look even more weak and ineffectual, which maybe they're doing. I mean,
well, I thought that was a unilateral decision by Viserys, right? I don't think they had a conversation. I think it's just he's got Allison in his chambers.
I need to watch this again, but the way Otto and Allison were watching expectantly, it's almost like they knew the outcome. Like,
he knows what he wants the outcome to be. That's how I read it. Is like, he knows what he wants out of this situation.
Allison would know. Like, Viserys isn't going to propose marriage by surprise, right? He announced that like it was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I didn't think about it.
Of course, welcome everybody here watching, all you Leal Club members. Go ahead and keep popping your questions or comments into the chat, and we'll get them compiled, and we'll be talking about here in a couple minutes on the instant talk.
Allison was there, so it probably makes sense that they had a conversation prior to that.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, like, Otto doing the Riker maneuver on Viserys. Like, oh, this is too dangerous. You got to send me in his little sad suit up scene. How carefully constructed this was by Daemon to provoke. He's taken a second wife when he was ordered to go back to his wife in the Vale, which I was hoping to see a little bit of that. He's going to take a second wife. To say that I'm more Targaryen than thee. I'm going back to the fucking old ways.
He went to Dragonstone instead of going home.
We talked about this. Dragonstone is the place that the heir sits.
Yeah. And
he was directly ordered in the name of his king last episode to get his ass to the Runestone at the Vale. He's at Dragonstone. Wrong stone entirely. He stole out of the royal hatchery the egg that Rhaenyra chose for her brother Balon for the brief hours that he was heir, like, and he's also marrying this baseborn, you know, common sex worker, as they called in Westeros. Very respectful of that profession back
this
then.
This is a move that is designed to provoke.
And provoke multiple levels, multiple people, and just show that he is completely unsuitable. Do you think that Corlys is like... What flavor of treason are we? We're talking light treason, medium treason, heavy treason. What was this meeting? Did you find it shocking? Was that reveal shocking to you?
That he stole the egg that was meant for Balon?
No, I'm talking about Corlys showing up at the him.
Oh,
calling Daemon to the Driftmark. Yeah,
to Driftmark. Yeah. It was a surprise. Certainly, but I knew he was going to do something. I knew, like, he wouldn't, based on all the looks he gave and all the conversations he had with the king, there was no way he was going to stand for Laena being passed over. But I didn't know what form that would take, but it makes perfect sense, right? And now I assume what's going to happen, and I have no knowledge of this. I haven't read Fireblood.
That's what I was wanting to see. Like, what's your political analysis of this move in terms of them getting away with it, in terms of open defiance of the king? Like, from what you understand of Westeros, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how head on a pike is this? And also, does it depend on success or failure of what they're planning on doing?
So... I think it does slightly depend on success or failure, but it depends on how strong Viserys is in his conviction not to start wars and not to get violence involved, because the only solution for Daemon's insolence is violence. He's not going to stop until you make him stop. And if you're unwilling to do that, there is no recourse. So, and I don't know that Viserys has that in him. He wants to be this king of peace, right? He's got this idea that he's going to be just like his king before him, whose name I can't remember, Jaehaerys,
old King Jaehaerys.
And I don't know if he's willing to budge off that.
He's really in a vice grip, though, because he's got to choose violence either way. If he does nothing... It like then Corlys and Daemon go and hit the stepstones and hit the crab feeder, and it looks like that the royal family has signed off on a hit on people of Essos, the free cities. So you start potentially a violent campaign with Essos.
Or if you do
go against
also,
Daemon and Corlys, then you're doing violence against your own people. What does that look like?
That you also end up in a situation where maybe the economic powers in the realm start to turn to his side because he's intervening when you wouldn't. So there's a lot of political.
If it's a success, then Daemon, you know, his line will be, "Well, I did this in spite of my brother, not because or on behalf of my brother." Although it'd be smarter politically to probably take the other tack and prove your worth to your brother. Maybe. And there's still that. I love that exchange where he says, "Look, I can talk shit about my brother, but I'll hear no man other than me do it." I think it's interesting that still there's that love and respect for, and Otto did hit pretty close to Mark when he's like, "This, you know, what is this mummer's farce? How low will you stoop to get your brother's attention?" It's clearly that's what's happening here.
Yeah, he's like Jake LaMotta, you know.
Yeah,
he can be as shitty as he wants to his wife, but then nobody else better say anything bad. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm excited about this stuff because I think this is the political intrigue and the dueling tensions and double-edged swords that I'm looking for out of a Game of Thrones prequel. So bring it on.
Oh, and we didn't even get to the Rhaenys versus Rhaenyra. Versus Rhaenyra. I thought that was great that Rhaenyra kept on looking for the insult. And I think Rhaenys was pretty, you know... Like she got to say the big line from the trailer, like the men would rather see the realm put to the torch than a woman sit the Iron Throne. And she's like, I understand the order of things. And then Rhaenyra tried to provoke her with her limited understandings. Like, no, let me let me help you understand, you know, why you're carrying your dad's cups. Mm-hmm. What are you actually getting done?
Yeah, it's interesting to me because there is knowledge, there's experience there in Rhaenys's viewpoint, but I think there's also a little bit of jealousy. Like, you are the queen that I was supposed to be, that kind of thing. So I don't know how seriously to take her, although I think she has the right of it.
I also really like the metaphor they're going with Viserys almost rotting from the inside, just like his house. You know, they're doing maggot therapy on his finger. Ugh. We still don't know what's that giant boil on his back. Like, he is not healing properly from wounds.
Finger is from the cut that he got
from Daemon,
last episode.
But they mentioned that Jaehaerys knew that the only way the Targaryens would fall apart was from within. I feel like they're really selling that rot, you know, that internal rot, all these fractures, and it looks so strong from the outside. Look at all these people with all these dragons, all these fortifications, and all this money and power. And that's one of the plot points, is from the outside it is looking shaky. Because of the Dragonstone fiasco, because of the Stepstone fiasco, because of the lack of the heirs, and it's interesting. What else we want to talk about?
I guess I'm curious how much of a concern only having one obvious heir is. Because I know, it's easy to wipe out a line at that point. I don't know. It seems to be the primary concern here. And I guess that's warranted. If as a king, your only purpose is to create an heir, I guess you would want more than one redundancy. Yeah.
And I guess I'm glad, like, again, this is all super gross, but I'm glad they played Viserys as being like, I'm doing this as a head of state kind of thing, more than like, I'm bereft of female companionship, get me a young woman to warm my bed kind of business. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how that will develop. Like, are we in, does this feel like a good place for a flash forward? Are we going to actually
flash forward 6 months? It was,
well, yeah, but I'm talking flash forward a couple of years, like into the adult phase of Rhaenyra and Alicent, you know, yada yada through the crab wars,
the crab wars
begun. These crab wars have, do you think, I feel like they surely won't yada yada through.
I'm just picturing stormtroopers with crab armor now. I can't.
What do you
think?
Speaking of crab armor, what do you make of this crab feeder? Is he a stone man? Was that like chitinous, chitinous armor? Was that, is he part of the ship, part of the crew? Does he work for Davy Jones? Like, that was not human flesh. I didn't think.
It didn't seem like there. It. Yeah. And I assume that's a crab feeder. So I don't know. He's either wearing a mask made of crab, or he's part
imitation
crab, part man. I don't know.
It's fake crab feeding. Fuck. Okay. I'm wondering if they do flash forward, if they'll flash forward the entire episode, or if we'll get like at least one juicy battle scene. Because I do think they need to show that Daemon's a badass. You know, we need to see him and Corlys doing shit. Would be, you know, maybe like the midway point of the next episode. But or I don't know, maybe they're going to go for a little bit more. But it feels like there's a betrayal to where you could flash forward this 10 years and see why Rhaenyra would hate, Alicent, and Alicent's kind of grown cool towards Rhaenyra. And
caught a tiny bit of the next time on, and I don't know. I don't consider this a spoiler, but Millie Alcock is still in that episode, so I don't think they flash forward too far.
Okay. I saw some people in chat replaced, saying that there was some older figures flash forward too. So maybe it is like or it's at the end. I don't know. I'm very curious to see how, because again, I'm delighted how they have done the telling of time, that we've had two full episodes in the kind of transition period from the Targaryens at the height of their power to the kind of decline. And there's so many things like, I imagine, did you think at the bridge that like, oh, this is the Dance of Dragons, it's about to kick off? Because I wondered if like a lot of people are thinking like, you know, okay. felt like that was a rug pull or a fake out, because I thought that was handled pretty well. I was like, wow, that was one of the other things. I'm like, damn, they might just kick, you know, like, yeah, kick off a minor skirmish here.
I think they're smart to show the potential for battle here and have them back down. This is much like the jousting between Kristen Cole and Damon in the first episode, where I'm thinking, okay, Damon's about to jump back up and people are going to get murdered here. But he concedes and he slaps his hand away and that's that.
Damn. Yeah, it's like a Hitchcock, you know, concept of that tension. You know, the audience knows there's a bomb. They don't know when it's going to blow up, but it's just tick, 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 tick. And that was a pretty big tick.
Mm-hmm.
What else you want to talk about? Or are we about ready to get to the instant talk portion?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, this is where the public part of the clubhouse closes, and we're going to just do an instant talk portion. This is where people using the YouTube chat interface are able to send us questions and comments and their thoughts. We'll try to read and respond to as many as we can. If that sounds like a good time to you, not only you get to participate in, but you get to listen to the archive each and every week. You can go to support.baldmove.com to get access to this for as little as $5 a month and many other features, ad-free feeds, premium content, like OTC. We just talked about the Hulu series, FX Hulu series, The Bear, did 3,000 Years of Longing. George Miller, a.k.a. Mr. Road Warrior, Mr. Mad Max, his genie erotica. we got a lot of cool stuff coming down the pike. Support.baldmove.com.